All right, guys, bye week, but it wasn't exactly just for sitting around. Patriots made a big trade.
The trade of the NFL. I mean, basically, usually the NFL trading deadline, and it was delayed a little bit by the superstorm, just kind of comes and goes. And, yeah, you hope your team would get somebody, but not a lot of teams go out and get, you know, good starting corners or good starting players at your position of need.
Well, and I think Bill kind of, I don't know if he clued us in early, but one of the things he said, you have to have two people that are willing to do it. And Greg Schiano was certainly an open line of communication to the Patriots, so I think that had something to do with it as well.
It probably did. I think you're right. You look at it, and it was pretty obvious to say, well, the Patriots could really use some help at corner, or specifically in the secondary. But it's so easy to say that, and then how do you find somebody who's good enough that he can help you, and yet he's available? Well, the best of both worlds happened. You had a guy with maybe somewhat of a checkered past, but also has the ability to come in and, I think, help them right away. And it was, to me, well worth it to take a shot.
Well, let's talk about Aqib Talib, you know, as far as his skills as a cornerback. How much of an upgrade do you think it will be short-term for the Patriots? I'm talking, you know, the game after Buffalo, and long-term, in this case, toward the end of the season.
Well, I think a lot of that depends on how they use him and how he fits in the scheme, because the one question I have on the field, forget about all the other stuff, but on the field, is his track record is sort of a man corner that, you know, everybody says, okay, you line him up against the other team's receiver and just say, take care of him, we'll do the rest. That's not really what the Patriots do. They run a lot of different schemes. They do some man, some zone, change it up. Is he going to fit in with that, or do you need to play him in man? And I wonder if he can't play in man, then I think it takes longer, because now he's learning all the various schemes. Maybe there's an acclimation period. If you're just going to let him play man, then I don't see why you couldn't expect him, as soon as he's here, to start playing.
Yeah, I feel like he's probably more talented than the players that you have. And I mean all of the secondary players. I'm not talking about Devin McCourty or Kyle Arrington or Alphonso Dennard. I mean, you know, the entire secondary. I think he gives you an opportunity. Now, you know, I don't know how it's all going to work out for some of the reasons Andy talked about. Football-wise, what his skill set is, what his strengths are, and maybe he doesn't really fit in to exactly the way the Patriots generally do things. So those are the questions that we're going to answer over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, hopefully they can get that settled before it gets to crunch time in the playoffs. But I think it's sort of inarguable to say that he doesn't help you, because he's better than what you have.
Yeah, and, you know, I hear what you're saying, Andy, but I think one of the reasons why the Patriots don't do that thing where you just put a guy on the other team's best receiver and let him go at it, it's because they couldn't. Well, I know you're going to throw Ty Law.
Don't take my argument before I say it. They didn't do it with Ty Law.
I think they did do it at times with Ty Law.
At times.
At times. But
occasionally.
But they absolutely cannot do it now, and maybe now they can. And if they can do that.
But what about when they don't? You said they did it at times with Ty Law. I'm talking about when they don't.
Okay.
But is he good?
But I think, for example, if the Patriots were playing, let's say, the Arizona Cardinals again. Now, they did a great job on Larry Fitzgerald, but I think that would be a case where they would say to leave, go.
So they're going to change what they do?
You'll get help once in a while, but for the most of the day, you're going to be on Larry Fitzgerald.
So you think they're going to kind of bend their schemes to fit him more so than ask him to fit their schemes?
I think you do a little bit both, but I think you're right. I think that's smart football. When you have a talent, you use it. You know, and I think he's got a talent that they don't have now. Use the talent. That will allow them at times to do a little bit more pressure than they have. Take some more chances on defense, because at least you know that you got that one guy
out. If it's working.
If it's working.
Because if it's
not sure
and
that
if
he's
one
that guy
is on one page and three other guys are on a different page, then it's worse than what you had before.
Sure, but I do think it adds an element that they don't have now, and I think they'd be silly not to use it.
He's not good enough to just say, you take every receiver and we'll... He's not that good. He's been productive. He's got 18 interceptions,
right.
So there's going to be some give and take.
Sure.
And I just wonder how long that process takes with all the other players and the coaches.
The bottom line to me is you have a player who is better than somebody who was playing for you.
Yes.
I think he might be better than everybody that was playing for you. But we know that he's at least better than, you know, Kyle Arrington or Alphonso Dennard or whoever you deem to be 2, 3, whatever. This year, you're a better football team with him on it than you were.
I agree. So, going forward, you got the Bills going on this week. He won't be playing, let's be clear, because, you know, he's still under suspension. And, you know, technically, the team can't have contact with him.
Technically, the team hasn't announced a trade officially.
Right.
Bill basically said he's a good player, and we'll talk about him when he gets here.
Right.
But this week, it's the Bills.
Yeah, so we are getting a little bit ahead, but that was the news coming out of the bye.
Well,
no doubt.
And if you're a Patriots fan, I don't see how you can't be excited about it. And I know he has baggage, but I forget the baggage on some level because my team is 5-3. They're in first place in their division. They're probably not quite as good as I hoped they'd be over the first half of the season, and they have one glaring need. They can't stop the pass. They give up too many big plays down the field. And your coach was aggressive. Your GM coach was aggressive and went out and targeted that need. You know, how many drafts have we gone through where you went in saying they have one need and you left feeling, well, they didn't really address that need? They did it in the middle of the season this year, trying to get better, trying to make sure in a mediocre year that they're as good as possible heading towards the postseason.
With the Patriots coming off their bye week, I thought it would be the perfect time to take a look at some things I'd like to see more of in the second half of the season. And I'm going to start off with the offense and what we saw with the production in London against St. Louis. And I know what you're saying. They scored 45 points. Great analysis, Perillo. Anybody could come up with that. But it was the way they scored that really had me excited. I like to see this offense go back to its roots. I want to put the ball in Tom Brady's hands. I want to spread it out. I want to go up-tempo. I want to get the ball in Welker's hands. I want to get the ball in Gronkowski's hands, and I want to put a lot of points on the board and make the other team submit. Then you can run the ball in the second half. I don't really care about balance early. You can get the balance later. I want the points on the board, and I want big wins. I'm going to stick with that London game for my second point. This one's going to move over to defense, though. And I know it's not always going to be perfect on that side of the ball for New England, but what I liked about the Rams' game plan was they went after the quarterback. They didn't sit back. They didn't allow Sam Bradford to pick them apart. They got aggressive, and they made some blitzes. They did some stunting, the linebackers. You saw Mayo and Spikes crisscrossing. I thought they got a little bit creative, and it worked. I want to see more aggressiveness out of the front seven, and I think with Dante Hightower back, they have the versatility to do some of those things. My final point is really a general one for the entire team. And coming off the bye week, it's appropriate. You want to get a little bit more healthy, and hopefully the rest has done these guys some good. Specifically, I'm going to point to Aaron Hernandez. And congratulations to Aaron for the birth of his child. He had a daughter during the course of the bye week. I think if you can get him healthy for the second half of the season, this offense can really explode. So that's going to be one thing I'm really hoping to see in the second half. Gronkowski's been there. If Hernandez can join him, watch out.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
Well, you were the first that I'd heard about that, but Matt's been great to me since the day I got here.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Images of the Week come from behind the scenes in London. There was no game, so let's go back. Here's a shot from inside the Patriots locker room in Wembley. Here's a nice shot of a comfy Brandon Lloyd in first class. Patriots were lucky to get out just before Superstorm Sandy. Here's a picture of their plane at Logan. Finally, Vince Wilfork safe at home back at Gillette with his favorite pillow.
Player's Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Yeah, one of the things that sort of occupied our media guys' minds heading into the season was the play of the offensive line. And then Dante Scarnecchia takes us aside in Tampa Bay and tells us all to settle down and relax. And as usual, Dante was right because you guys have been outstanding. Was that really satisfying to hear your coach really, you know, with the support like that?
He supported me from the beginning. All the coaches have. And, you know, I think it's just we have to continue to work hard and get better because that's the only way we're going to really be where we want to be.
Now, how do you go about doing that? What are some of the obstacles? What are the things that you think that you need to get better at? Because, you know, to the naked eye, it seems like you guys have done a great job really all season long.
Well, you know, we can definitely clean some things up. I haven't been perfect, obviously, and that's what you always strive for, and getting better and staying at a high level of performance takes a lot of work on a weekly, daily basis.
Now you guys, both you and Sebastian, have gone up against a number of pass-rushing duos. It seems like every team in the league has, you know, it was Robert Quinn and Chris Long and Elvis Dumervil and Von Miller. What are the different challenges of going against those guys every week, and how do you stay so consistent?
It's going to be like we're going this week. We study those guys extensively. We run through all the possibilities in practice, and we work really hard throughout the week to be as prepared as we can be.
Did you Were you made aware of Matt Light's comments? He was talking about just, you know, how physically talented a player you are and how versatile you are and athletic and how you blew him away. And that's got to be pretty satisfying also for a second-year guy to hear a guy who's done it for so long, for so well like Matt, to talk like that about you.
Well, you were the first that I'd heard about that. But, you know, I certainly appreciate that. Matt's been great to me since the day I got here. So, you know, that's really neat.
The bye week is over. It's back to football, and that means the Buffalo Bills come to town. Interesting matchup this week between one of the NFL's better rushing attacks and one of the league's better rush defenses. C.J. Spiller, over 7 yards a carry. He's been electric all year, although he's not a guy that's going to get 10, 15, 20 carries a game. It's more the big plays you worry about with him. But with 7 yards a carry, you always have to worry. Up front, Jerod Mayo, Vince Wilfork. Patriots only allowing 3.5 yards a carry on the ground. The strength of the defense, it needs to be the strength each and every week. And it definitely needs to be that this week against a top 10 rushing attack. On the other sides of the football for both teams, it's still about the running game. Surprisingly, the Patriots moved up during the bye week, and it's Stephen Ridley and company getting the job done on the ground. Paul Perillo doesn't want to run the ball early. I do, especially against a Bills team that ranks 31st in the league in stopping the run. They give up a ton of yards on the ground, and when you get the ground game early, that means you can do the play-action pass. It makes things easier on Tom Brady, and you end up with a huge day offensively. Finally, use all that extra energy you have coming out of the bye to start fast. The Patriots scored a touchdown on their opening drive just twice in the first half of the season. Both those games ended up as blowouts. You don't have to worry about finishing. You don't have to put as much pressure on your defense, and things come easier when you score in your first possession. This is a team where it can snowball for the better. And by the way, the Bills are a team, and we saw that earlier this season, that it can snowball for the worse. In front of the home crowd, use your energy, start fast, roll to victory.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I'm sorry, you're just going to ask me questions and answer them yourself?
Well, if you give me the wrong answer, I got to give you the right answer.
Oh, so when I don't agree with you, it's the wrong answer.
Correct.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
There's an interesting situation brewing in New Orleans. I don't know if you heard, but there's a good chance that Sean Payton could be a free agent head coach after this season. It's all a little bit tangled up. Apparently, they had a contract extension agreed to, but the league sent it back because of the wording. They never had a chance to redo it. So, end of story, he doesn't have a contract, and he might be a free agent. But here's the thing. All this speculation is out there that he might go to the Dallas Cowboys. Now remember, Peyton learned how to be a head coach under Bill Parcells. Bill Parcells was the head coach at Dallas. He couldn't make it work with Jerry Jones. Of all the places that Sean Peyton could possibly go, if he in fact becomes a free agent, why would he go to the Dallas Cowboys under Jerry Jones? Makes no sense, but it is worth watching.
There's been a lot of talk about some of the teams supposedly at the top of the AFC, and of course, the Patriots have been one of those. But we've heard about Denver, we've heard about Houston, we've heard about Baltimore, but we haven't heard a lot about one team that typically is in the mix until now. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I think, last week sort of emerged as one of those contenders in the AFC. They're only 5-3, but they're starting to look a little bit more like their former selves. The defense is starting to come along, and contrary to Fred Kirsch's opinion, Pittsburgh will be heard from.
I don't know if you saw the video yet, but if not, go Google it, because Chuck Pagano put together one of the most emotional post-game speeches you will ever see for his Colts team this weekend. He talked to him pregame, and then after the emotional win over the Miami Dolphins, he talked about his circumstances.
I got circumstances. You guys understand it? I understand it. It's already beat. It's already beat.
He's dealing with leukemia. It's in remission, but he's still undergoing therapy. He needs to return to the team in December, they hope, to give them motivation, potentially heading into the postseason, because the Colts, with Andrew Luck, are an upstart 5-3 playoff contender. It's an emotional team that's dealing with the loss of their head coach. They're not getting the same coaching they would have gotten under Pagano, but the emotional drive that they have, I don't know how anyone can root for any other team other than Chuck Pagano and the Colts to win the Super Bowl. They're the emotional favorite.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The Patriots added Aqib Talib at the trade deadline, but does that make them the favorites to win the Super Bowl?
As I hinted at last week in this very seat, I thought the Patriots might have been the favorite to win the Super Bowl already, and they addressed their biggest need. Aqib Talib gives them a cover guy, somebody who can stop those 20-yard plays that have been so nauseating through the first half of the season, and it allows everybody else to kind of fall into place. Now you have rookies like Tavon Wilson and Alphonso Dennard who can be situational guys, rotational guys. They're not all going to be thrust on the field. You have more talent, more depth in your greatest area of need. They're going to the Super Bowl.
I'm going to start off by saying something that's going to surprise you a little bit.
You agree with me.
Andy Hart, you might be right.
Oh,
but I don't know that right now because I have not seen Aqib Talib enough to say that he's the difference between making this team the favorite. I didn't believe they were a favorite last week, and I don't believe they're the favorite now. Right now, to me, in the AFC, Houston is a more balanced football team. We'll see what happens over the last 8 weeks. A lot of football to be played. But I'm not sure Talib is Darrelle Revis, and I think that's what we're sort of making him out to
be.
And you know, he is not this kind of player. This is his fifth year in football. He's yet to earn a Pro Bowl nod, even once. You know, I understand where he was slated coming out of college as a first-round pick, number 20 pick overall, but I'm not sure he has the kind of talent that's going to take this secondary and lift it to a place that I don't think it can get to.
You know what he is? He's a playmaker. 18 career interceptions, despite having missed time for various reasons, injuries and suspensions, what have you. He's a playmaker. He makes plays on the football. Will he give up plays? Sure. So did Asante Samuel. But I liked watching a guy who went after the football, was aggressive, and got the football for Tom Brady.
Yep.
That's what this team needs. It's not going to be a stout defense. It's not going to be shut down. It's not going to be, you know, no more 300-yard games by opponents. You're still going to get all that, but you're going to get some plays, some more opportunities to make plays on offense because they're going to get them the ball, and that's all this team needs. They were right on the cusp of being an elite team already. This puts them over the top.
Oh, I do think they're an elite team. I thought that going in, but I'm not sure. Again, Talib is not the cure-all to me, and I know
he doesn't have to be.
Yeah, well,
he just has to make you better.
Think he does.
You say you haven't seen Talib play, but you have seen all the guys they've run out there this year, and what's been the consistent theme? They give up plays.
Yeah,
I needed somebody to make plays. Talib can make plays.
Defensively, to me, they're not good enough, Andy. And that's, you know, listen, again.
Were they good enough last year?
Things can change. No. And I think things can
change.
And how
close were they to winning the Super Bowl?
They were close.
Okay, like a couple minutes?
Did they win it?
No.
No.
But are they better this year? Are they better this year?
No.
Oh, well, you're watching different games.
I don't think they're any better this
year. The run defense is way better this year. The young guys off the edge are better this year. They're making more plays. The turnover ratio is better. They're a better defense this year.
I'm sorry. You're just going to ask your questions and answer them yourself?
Well, if you give me the wrong answer, I got to give you the right answer.
Oh, so when I don't agree with you, it's the wrong answer.
Correct.
I don't agree with you that this defense is any better. I think it has the potential to be better. I think with guys like Jones and Hightower, it has the potential to do things that it couldn't do last year. But we'll see if they actually do it.
Now, so you think you're going to see that over the second half of the season?
No, I'll wait and see if I can see it over
the... Oh, we're going to wait to see if they win the Super Bowl to see whether they're favorite to win the Super Bowl?
What I'm telling you is I didn't see it in the first half of the season. I saw a lot of the same stuff I saw last year. I saw a lot of big plays allowed. And
they went out and acquired the best available cornerback they could get.
And again,
the best available playmaker.
Yeah. Did he make them better? Yes, he did.
Okay.
I don't think he makes them the favorite. I think there are other teams, and certainly there are balanced teams and passing offenses that really worry
me. Take your balance. Houston can keep their balance. When Brady hangs 35 on them, it's over.
I'm not sure his style meshes with the way the Patriots want to play on defense. I think this...
That's true, because he makes plays.
They were just blanket assumptions. Listen, when you sometimes you say something funny, I got to laugh. I'm talking about everybody says you got to leave Aqib Talib alone on an island. And, well,
yeah, that worries me. I'm not going
to
lie.
That's great. They don't play like that. And I'm not sure that he's going to fit to what the Patriots want to do. I'm not sure he has the same kind of discipline.
Who's the last guy they had that went and got the football? Who made plays on the ball?
Asante Samuel.
Thank you. They haven't had a cover guy like that since, and they need a guy to make plays. They now have one. They're better because of it.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, time now for your questions that you sent to AskPFW at Patriots.com. But first,
Patriots didn't play. They're on the bye, so I would assume they shot up the Wilson-Hart Power Index?
They didn't shoot up, but yes, they moved up two spots in the Wilson-Hart Power Index this week, which is great off a bye. But more interesting is right at the top of the index, and that's where the Chicago Bears jumped up two spots. Big dominant win over the Titans. They are the new number one, and the Falcons, undefeated but a little bit underwhelming, dropped down to three. Houston stays in the two spot. Interestingly, Denver actually dropped five spots, coming back to beat the Bengals. They kind of were a little sloppy against a questionable Bengals team, so that might explain that. Interesting to me is the consistency at the bottom.
Let's go to the first question. This is from Joe Stanley. And he wants to know, why don't the Patriots use their version of the NASCAR defense more often? That's the only time they get much pressure.
Well, I think they actually have used their version of it. I don't know if they would call it the same thing that Giants do, but you've seen a little bit of Jermaine Cunningham inside. Lately, you've seen some Justin Francis inside as well. I think those guys are more typically defensive ends that they've used with Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich. I don't think it's something that they have. They don't have Justin Tuck and Osa Umenyiure and Jason Pierre-Paul. They don't have guys that you absolutely have to find a way to get on the field more often. Jermaine Cunningham, to me, is a part-time sub-package player, and I think he's been effective in that role, but he's not a guy that needs to play more because he's just so talented.
And remember, when they're using him, it's an obvious pass situation.
Right.
So,
right.
Christian Neruder writes in. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Probably
he's like,
not.
My question is, why doesn't New England, why do they refuse to draft the most athletic players for the most athletic positions?
Yeah, I just don't. Question. Well, I don't agree with it.
Right.
As NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said, I don't agree with the premise. I think they've gotten in trouble at times drafting the most athletic player. One guy I'd point to was Ben Watson. They saw a guy who ripped physique, 4.35, 4.440, you know, but he couldn't catch. He couldn't play the tight end position as well as you needed him to do that. I think they've drafted a lot of athletes, a lot of the fastest guy, you know.
Bethel Johnson.
You know, Bethel Johnson, Matthew Slater.
Chad Jackson.
Chad Jackson are some guys that just athletically could jump through the roof, could run, but they couldn't play the position you drafted them to play. So I think they've done it a lot of different ways. Sometimes they do go after the guy who can just play. His numbers aren't that great. But I think they've also drafted a lot of athletes over the years.
All right, AskPFW at Patriots.com is where you can send your questions.